Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Ches. The Gemara asks on Daf Tzadik Zayin with Beis, why does the Mishnah say, if the Mashal says, She'ula Mesa, and the Shayel says, he doesn't know, if it was the She'ula that died, or the Schur that died, the Mishnah says that the Shayel is Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, according to the Shita that holds, Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Adif, in this case the Mashal is a Bari, the Shayel is a Shema, if you hold La Bari Adif, the Shayel should be Potter. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is talking about a special case. There's an Esek Shvua Beinein, there's already a Chiv Shvua for a different reason. The case is that he's a Maid of a Mixas, that's why he has to swear. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Mashal tells the Seicher, I lent you really two Paris for a half a day, and I rented them for the other half of the day, and the Shayel says it's Taka true. Regarding one of the Paris that you lent me, Taka died, B'shas Shayel, and therefore I'm going to have to pay you for it. Just the other one, I'm not sure. The other para, it could be it died, B'shas Schura. Since Lamais is he's a Maidu Mixus, he's Maidu on one of the paras that he has to pay for it, and Meila, he's Chai Vishwa, and he can't swear on the second one that was B'shas Schura Mesa because he Taka doesn't know. Therefore, it's a case of Mitech Shani Yacholashav Mishalim. He has to swear, and he can't, so the halach is that he has to pay. Likewise, in the Sefer, where the Mishnah says that he lent him one para and he rented one para to him, and the Mashal says the Sheula died, and the Shail says he's not sure, it could be the Sechura died, that the Mishnah says he's Chayiv, there too, the Gemara says, really, the Mishnah over there is talking about he's a Maid of a Mixus. What happened over there? It's not really two paris. Really, there are three paris. One he rented, while two were lent. And now two of the paras died. The Mashal says both of the paras that died were the borrowed ones, were she'ulim, and Meil Yerchai to pay me for both. Whereas the Seicher / Shail is Maida that one of the paras that died is she'ula, obviously. But the other one, he says, is not sure. It could be it's the Schura that died. Since Lamais is Maida B'mixas, that he has to for sure pay for one para, therefore he's going to be Chai to pay for the second one as well, as he's Meitech Shanechal Shava Mishalim. That's the Gemara, the first half of the Amud Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph, B'Kitzur Nimritz. Now, Rashi asks a kasha. Why does the Gemara have to say that in the Reisha where he said, B'Shas Shula Mesa, and the Seicher says, B'Shas Shura Mesa, the Gemara have to say that there really are two paris. And one, the Shail is Maida, he has to pay for, he's a Maida of Mixus, and the question is just on the other one. Rashi asks, why does the Gemara have to say that both paris died? Let one of them live. And it's still a Maida of a Mixus. The Mashal / Masker says, you owe me two paris. The one that died was the She'ula, so you have to pay for that para. And the one that's alive is a Schura, so you have to give me that para back as well. He's asking for two paris. One of them alive and one of them is dead. But he asks to be reimbursed with two paris. And the Shayel says, the one that died was the Schura. The one that's alive is the She'ula. I might have to pay you back one para, not two. That should make him a Maida B'mixas. So why does the Gemara have to say that both paras died? So Rashi answers, if he says the one that's alive is the She'ula, and Anachanami, I have to give it back to you, really, that's a case of a Halach. The Gemara says in Daf Dalet, if Reuben is Tevei Shimon $100, and Shimon says, I only owe you 50, and here's the 50 that I owe you, he's not considered a Maida B'mixas, since he's saying Halach. He's considered a kefir akoil, as he really says the din Torah on the 50 that I'm maida really doesn't exist. The 50 that I'm maida, I'm handing to you right now. The other 50, I'm a kefir akoil. Therefore, in the case of the para, since he says that para that's alive is taka yours, you could take it, that's going to be a din of halach. Now, Rashi doesn't expressly say that he actually had the para that's alive next to him, and he says, here it is, take it, which is the classic case of Halach. Rashi is mashma, in any case, since he's moida, that he has that para, and it's alive, and he's willing to let the mashal take it, as it belongs to him, that itself would be considered Halach as well. But it's not mochach. It could be Rashi talking about that imamish is handling him the para, but it's not mashma like that in Rashi. However, there's a mefurish or Rashba that says such a case would be considered Halach as well. The Rashba asks on the Gemara's Teretz, we mentioned earlier that the Mishnah is talking about there were two paris, not one. And they both died, and the Shail is a Maid of a Mixus. Asked the Rashba, how could the Gemara say it's talking about there were two paris? The Mishnah is talking about one para. The Mishnah says, he lent him a para for half a day, and he rented him the same para for half a day. And the question is, when I died, where does the Gemara come across saying that the Mishnah is talking about two paras? So the Rashba answers, the Mishnah that just says it was one para is talking about the para that they're arguing about. But there's another para that they're not arguing about, that the Mishnah doesn't have to mention. However, ask the Rashba, why in the Sefer, when the Mishnah says that he lent him one para and rented one para, the Gemara says the only way he can come about a case of Moedim Mixes if we actually throw in another part. There was a third part that the Mishnah doesn't talk about that was also lent, and that the Shail is Moedim, therefore it's a Moedim Mixas. What do you have to come onto a third part? It's enough if you have two parties. One was B'Shail, one was B'Shiris. And the Mashal said the one that died was the borrowed one, and the one that was rented, the one that was B'Shiris, is alive. And the Shail says the one that's alive is in the agam, it's in the pasture land, and the marshes, and there's one that's dead. I don't know which para died, either the one you lent me or the one you rented to me. That's a classic case of Maidiba Mixas. I have to give one para back to you, the one that's alive, and the other one I don't know if I have to pay you for or not. If it was the shoal, I have to pay you back. If it was the rented one, I don't have to pay you. So it's a regular case of Maidiba Mixas, and imitation of Chalashav and Mishalim. Why does the Gemara have to say there's actually a third para? It's basically Rashi's kasha, just not on the Reish, on the Sefer. And the Rashi explains very clearly. He writes, such a case would be Halach, wouldn't be a Moedim Mixas. Since he says, the one that's alive is yours, please go take it. True, it's in the marshes, but since it's only a Pikodin, so the rule is, Kol Heicha D'Issa B'Rishus D'Mari, so wherever it is, it's in the possession of its master. So therefore, even if he's not holding on to it, he's not handing it to him physically still, since he's telling him where it is, and he says, go take it, that itself is going to be considered halach. That's clearly the Rashi's position, that by pikodin, if the nifkat says, it's over there, you can go take it, that's going to be considered halach as well. And that, as we said, l'chayr shitas Rashi, even though it's not 100% certain. However, the Ravid argues, we'll see the Ravid soon, Bezer Hashem, Ravid understands that such a case would not be halach, even by a pikodin. If the nifkat does not actually hand the pikodin to the mafkid, even if he says it's over there, you can go take it, that's not considered halach. And therefore, as we'll see, Bezer Hashem, the Ravid has a different approach to explaining our Gemara. Al kolpanim, we have machlekes, the Rashba and the Ravid, whether a nifkat tells the mafkid the pikodin is over there, you can go take it, if that's considered halach. There's actually a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban as well about this. The Rambam is of the opinion that would not be considered a case of halach, whereas the Ramban holds, like the Rashba, that would be considered halach, even though he doesn't actually hand it to him. Rav Shachan Avi Ezri explains the machloikis between the Rambam and the Ravid against the Ramban and the Rashba, that they're arguing really in a very basic machloikis how to understand the yisod of a chiyuv of the nifkat to pay the mafkid. We already mentioned it earlier in the perek. There's a machlaikis rishayim, what happens if somebody is a suffik, if it's meisa machmas malacha. Most understand that if the shayil says, I don't know, it could be it was meisa machmas malacha, that he's going to be chayiv, because it's any idea in praticha, he's really chayiv. And the question is he able to patter himself by saying the Rama, the Shach, the Nesivis, and many others understand that it's considered any Adam Praticha. There's definitely a chiyuv to give it back, and the question is he potter? Therefore, he's going to be chay when it's a suffik. However, the Ksais understands, like the Beis Yosef, that he's going to be potter. It's really a case of an Adam's chayavti. According to the first Shita, the chiyuv starts immediately when somebody borrows something. He's chayiv to give it back. There's a chiyuv hashava, and a shayil is a chiyuv hashava on the nifkat. He has to give it back. And until he can ascertain that he's potter, it's inyadeya and praticha. But there's definitely a clear chiyuv hashava that he was nischayiv already the second he got it. So there's Rav Shach, since there's a chiyuv hashava, according to this shita, true, kol eicha d'issa b'shusa d'marisa, wherever it is, it belongs to the bailam. Nevertheless, there's still a chiyuv hashava that he did not fulfill. The nifkat can't say halach. What do you mean halach? You have to give back the pari. You didn't do that yet. You're neschayev b'hashav and you didn't fulfill your commitment. However, if you hold the whole chiyuv of the shomer to the bailim is only at the point of the Hefzid, there's no Chiyuv Hashava, per se. The Nifker was never Chayiv in anything to the Bailam until the Pikodin got ruined. Here the Pikodin didn't get ruined. He was never Chayiv anything. Therefore, if the Parah is alive in the Agam, the Nifker could say, hey, look, it's over there in the Agam, go take it. I was never Chayiv anything more to you. If it got ruined, if it died, then I have to pay back. And that's when my Chiyuv starts. But I have no Chiyuv to you as the Parah is fine and well. Therefore, the Ramban and the Rashba understand in such a case will say that he could say, hey, look, because as far as I'm concerned, the Shayel says, I have no chiv to you, you can take it, it's over there, and as far as I'm concerned, I fulfilled my commitment to you. You have no more taina on me, you have no more chiv that you can demand from me, and therefore, when he says, hey, look, that means that the Shayel says, you have no taina on me regarding this para, and therefore, it's not going to be considered a maidah mixus, as he fulfilled his obligation entirely by saying, the para is over there in the agam, go take it. Rav Shach later on explains the machlekes a bit differently. Lokoponim, that's his first mahalach, that the machlekes, the Rambam. And the Ramban is really based on the understanding of when the chiv of the shomer starts to the mafkin. Now, getting back to the Gemara, Tosfos asks the kasha. The Gemara says the reason that the Mishnah says the shayel is chayev because he's chayev eshua al tzmai demixis, and he can't swear, he doesn't know. And therefore we say, mitech sheni chalashov mishalim. Asks Taisus, if that's the case, why is the halacha by anybody who's a choshed al eshua, somebody who were afraid he's going to swear falsely, as he's proven in the past that he's a choshed al eshua, the halacha is that shekenegdo nishba v'noito, the person who's teveya actually has the right to swear and take what he's being teveya from the nitva, because the nitva is a choshed, he can't swear to pater himself. Asks Taisus, every choshed really should go into the category of mitech sheni chalishov mishalim. He can't swear because he's a chashid. Therefore, he should have to pay even without the teveya being mechuyev to swear, to take. Why do we say by every chashid al shvua shekenegdo nishba benoitel, that the teveya has to swear in order to get what he's asking for? Even without a shvua, the chashid should have to pay. Just like over here, we say mitechshani chalishav mishalim. If he can't swear, he has to pay. That's the chayra universal rule. Why is it different by a chashid? So Tosfos answers, it's really a takana that the Chachamim made. Because what's going to happen if we tell every person who's a chashad al shvua that you can't swear, and since you can't swear, mitech sheni chalishav mishalim, you're going to have to pay. So really, there'll be a free-for-all against all the chashudim. Someone wants to make $1 million off the chashud, he's going to lend them $5. He'll then come a week later and be tevei $1 million. The person who's a chashud, the nitva, is going to say that he taka owes him $5, but nothing more. He's going to be a maidah mixus. He can't swear because he's a chashid. But the teveya is going to get the entire $1 million because the chashid can't swear. And we'll say mitech sheni chalishav mishalim. Since it's not fair to the chashid, people take advantage of him. The chachamim are misakein that although he can't swear, we make the teveya swear in order to take from the chashid. But that's only in the classic case where somebody lends money to a chashid and he's chayv eshua and he can't swear, so we don't let the teveya win automatically. However, in a regular case of mitech sheni chalishav mishalim, the case of Naschal Rab Abba or our Gemara, where he can't swear, that's not because he's a chashid. It's a classic case of mitoich. It happens to be, it's happenstance. It's not that it can always be taken advantage of. In such a case, we're not going to say that shekenegdo nishba v'noitel. Rather, we'll say the classic halacha of mitech sheni chalishav mishalim. That's Taisus over here. Taisus and Daf Hayom and Aleph really ask the same kasha. Why don't we say mitech sheni chalishav mishalim by every choshed? Why do we say that shekenegdo nishba v'noitel, that the person's teveya swears in order to get his money? Why don't we say that the choshed has to pay by virtue of the fact that he can't swear? We say mitech sheni chalishav mishalim. Taisus answers, firstly, like Taisus says over here, that we're going to be leaving all the chashudim to be very vulnerable to frivolous cases where they'll lose their money, even though the truth is they don't owe the money. Then Taisus answers another teretz. Taisus answers that by a regular case of mitoich, of course he has to pay because we tell him, if you want to swear, swear. If you can't swear, then pay. However, by the case of the chashud, he'd love to swear. If we give him the chance, he'll swear happily that he doesn't owe the money. We're not lending him. In a case where we don't let him swear, we can't say mitech sheni chalishav mishalim. He wants to swear. We made a takana that he can't swear, so therefore, it's not going to be a case of mitoich. Rather, we say, shekenegdo nishba v'noitel,
if the person who's Teveya wants to get the money from the Chashid, he's going to actually have to swear himself in order to be Maitzi the Mammon from the Chashid. Now, the Pashtus, to explain the two truths in Tosfos, it would seem that they're arguing how we understand this halacha that a Chashid doesn't swear, and Shekinegdo, the person who's Teveya from him, is Nishba Benaitel, swears, and he is Maitzi the Mammon from the Chashid. From Tosfos' first heretz over there in Daf Hey, and Tosfos really over here, that says that Enochanami, Wutaka should really say, and the Chashid really should pay without the Teveya having to swear. Taisa says, true, Mitech is applicable here. Nevertheless, we don't want to make the Chashid too vulnerable. People should take advantage of him. Therefore, we said the Teveya has to swear. But technically, without the Takana, we would say Mitech, and the Chashid should have to pay without requiring the Teveya to swear. It's just a takana for the good of the chashid that the Teveya has to swear. Taisa's second heretz, however, when Taisa says that a chashid don't say mitaych because he'd happily swear, would seem to indicate that there's no mitaych at all. The takana shaknag de nishba v'naitel is not to appease the chashid's concerns, like Taisa says in his first heretz. According to Taisa's second heretz, the reason we don't say mitaych because he'd happily swear, in such a case we don't say mitaych, really, the chashid shouldn't have to pay at all. The takana shekenegdo nishba v'naitel is we actually did a favor to the teveya, and we give the teveya away to get his money because to force the chashid to swear, we can't do that. He's chashid. To make him pay, we can't do that either because there's no mitaych. He wants to swear. So that would leave the chashid in the clear. We made a takana shekenegdo nishba v'naitel to make a takana l'tevas for the good of the teveya. And there's a big nafkamina, Reb Dov Tversky, Zechariah Lerachah, says in the Shurim of a Metzia, there's a tremendous nafkamina between these two approaches and Taisvis. If Shekneg Nishma V'Naitel is actually a Taiva for the Nitva, for the Chashad, like Taisvis' first Teretz, then really the Taiveya should be able to get the money without any Shavua at all. It's just to do a favor to allay the concerns of the Nitva, of the Chashad. Do we make the Taiveya swear? According to Taisvis' second Teretz, the shvur that the shekenegdo swears, that the teveya swears, is actually a taiva for the teveya, because without this takon of him taking the money through the shvur, he really wouldn't get anything. So Reb David says that really there's a tremendous nafkamina. What would happen if the teveya would actually grab the money, make tfisa without swearing? It's a shvur derabanan. Generally, tfisa works, even though one shouldn't do that. One should swear, but if he grabs without swearing, the tfisa can act in place of the shvua. However, that's only in a place where the shvua is just coming to solidify the position of the teveya that Besdin really accepts. Just there's a takana he should swear as well. However, if the whole schus of the teveya is built on the shvua, tfisa won't work in place of the shvua. Therefore, according to Taisa's first teretz, that really there's a halacha mitoich that applies to this case as well. He can't swear, he's going to have to pay. Just the Chacham wanted to do a favor to the Nitva, to the Chashid, and say, true people may take advantage of you, therefore we're going to protect you with a Shavua. But the Ikar Adin is that we say, Matech Shani Chalashav Mishalim, and really he has to pay. So in such a case, if the Shekinegdo, if the Teveya, were to grab the money without swearing, he'd be able to keep it, because the swearing, the shvua that the Chomer Masakim was only to solidify a position that's really accepted already. If he made tfisa, he'll keep it even without swearing. However, according to Taisa's second Teretz, there's no chiyuv b'chlal for the Chashid to pay. The Chomer made a takana as a favor to the Teveya. If he swears, then we'll allow him to be Teveya, to be Maitzi Mamin from the Nitva, since he's a chashid. But that's only after he swears. The shvua that he makes is what facilitates the chiyuv of the chashid to pay. Without the shvua of the teveya, there's not going to be any chiyuv at all. It's not that there's a chiyuv and the shvua is just to solidify the position of Besdin that he for sure has to pay. There's no chiyuv without the shvua. Therefore, if he's taifis, he will definitely have to return the money, unless he swears that the chashid actually owes him. Another nafkamina is regarding the halacha eidim sayeya. Everyone knows that an eid echad ki mechayev shvua. If Reuven has a tefiyah against Shimon, he has a claim, and Reuven actually brings an eid echad to back up his claim against Shimon, the halacha is that Shimon has to swear. Likewise, Many Rishonim in the beginning of the Masechta hold that Edom Asayeya can patter from a Shavua as well. If Reuven has a Tviya on Shimon, he has a claim against Shimon, and Shimon brings an Eid Echod to help his cause, he testifies in accordance with what Shimon said, many Rishonim hold that Shimon will be patter from making the Shavua. Just like an Eid Echod can mechayev a Shavua, an Eid Echod could patter from a Shavua as well. Many hold that likewise, in the case of Shavuas HaNoitlin, where somebody swears in order to be Tevei and to get money from somebody else, from the person he's claiming against, if he brings an aid that's Mesayeya, an Eid Echod that testifies to support his claim, the halacha is he won't have to swear. He'll be able to get the money from the Nitva even without a Shavua. That's the halacha of Eid Mesayeya. Nevertheless, that's only by a Shavua where the Ikar Din is that the Teveya should really get the money out of the Nitva without a Shavua. Just the Chomer Mesake, an extra measure that he should swear as well. But if the Ikar Chiv comes about only through the Shavua, Eid Mesayeya won't patter the Teveya from swearing. Therefore, says Reb David, the two Tirutzim and Tosfos will also argue in such a case, L'chaira. According to this first Teretz, it's that the Chiv for the Choshev to pay the Teveya is there without any Shavua. It's just they made a takana for the Teveya to swear to be sensitive to the Choshev's concerns, that people will take advantage of him. Since the Ikar HaDin is that the Choshev has to pay the Teveya anyways, if the Teveya brings an aid to Messiah, brings an aid that testifies in accordance with what he was saying, he won't have to swear. However, according to Taisa's second Teretz, without the Shavua, there's no chiv at all. The Choshev really doesn't have to pay. There's no mitaych, and there's no chiv mamay. The only reason he has to pay is because Chachamur Mesakein, a favor to the Teveya, that when he's dealing with a Choshev, he could swear and be Maitzi Mamon based on a Shavua. That Edom Sayeya will not help, because the whole Chiyuv Mamon comes only after there was a Shavua that facilitated that Chiyuv. That's what Reb David wants to say, the Nafkamina is between these two Tzurtzim and Taisus. However, Reb David's Maskana is that according to everybody, according to both Tzurtzim and Taisus, even according to Taisus' Teretz, like he answers over here, that the reason we don't see mitoich by a choshed is because that takana for the choshed, that people shouldn't take advantage of him because he can't swear, Taisus doesn't mean that meikar didn't people will be able to take advantage of him. This would be the regular case of mitoich shenei chalashav and mishalim. Taisus doesn't mean that. As he proves from several places that we're going to say this halacha, that shenkeneged nishpa v'noitol, and the choshed loses to the person who's teveh from him, as long as that person swears, we find that halacha even in cases where there's no mitoich shenei chalashav and mishalim. By Shavuos Tesis, we find the halacha of shekenegde nishpa v'noitel, that the choshed doesn't swear, and the teveya gets to swear and take from him, even though in this shavua there's no halacha of mitoich shenei chalashav and mishalim. Meiler of David says it's not a din, even according to this teretz, that really it's mitoich shenei chalashav and mishalim, and just to save the choshed, they were masakin a shavua, but really you can take without a shavua. Rather, even according to that teretz in Taisvis, it's just a takana, the chomer mesakein, that you connect the nishpa v'noitel, without it, the teveya would not be able to be gaiva, even though the choshud, the nitva, wouldn't be able to swear. And the reason Rebdot explains why there wouldn't be a din mediraiz from teich shein yecholishav v'mishalim is because the chomer actually mafkia, they took away the chiv shvua on a choshud. It's not that he's mechuyiv to swear, and they said he can't swear. The Chum said there's no chiyuv shvua on the choshed. There won't be a medina mitaych shein choshev mishalim. And more than that, Reb David takes it a step further. He says that the yisoid, the way a shvua works, the dynamic is bezin's matel shvua, bezin's mechayiv somebody to swear, and then he's a mechuyiv shvua. If he doesn't swear, then we could say that he's mechuyiv shvua and he's not swearing. If he can't swear, he's mitaych shein choshev mishalim, but there has to be a chiyuv shvua on him. For Bezdin actually paskins that he's a mechuyiv shvua, he's not considered a mechuyiv shvua. Meila, in the case of a choshed, the chomer mesakin, the Bezdin should not paskin that he's a mechuyiv shvua. If he's not going to get such a psak from Bezdin, you can never say he gets a stage two where he's any choshev mishalim, because he's not considered a mechuyiv shvua at all. Meila, Reb David Pavarsky explains, according to everybody, he's not really considered a mitoich shenei choshev mishalim. Rather, what Taisus means over here when he says that it's a takana for the toiva of the choshev, the idea is Taisus is giving a general picture how Chazal looked at things. Since Lamaisa would be minaroi that he doesn't swear because he's choshev, and it would be then minaroi that the toiva should be able to get from him without a shvua, because we can't let the choshev swear. So to that, Chazal said, no, It's not fair because then the chashid will be very disadvantaged, as people will take from him, taking advantage that he can't swear a shvuas on the mixus. Therefore, the Chacham came to the conclusion that the fairest thing is to have the shekenegdoi, the person who's teveya, be nishba v'noitel to swear and take from the chashid. But it's not to undo a mitoch sheni chashav mishalim, because mitoch sheni chashav mishalim is not possible at all, as the Chacham did not actually place the shvua on the chashid. Therefore, he's not considered a mechuyav shvua. Now, getting back to the Gemara, we said before the way the Gemara explained the seifa that says zaymer shulam meisav zaymer schur meisav, that we say is chayiv, and the reason is because there's a case, there's an esek shvua beinayan. He's a might of mixas. What's the case? He's a might of mixas. Really, there weren't two paris, there were actually three paris, two shulim, one sachar. Two paris died. One of them is clearly going to be a shul that the shul is mighty. He says, I owe you for sure one. The question on the second one, you, the mashal, says it's the other shul that died. I say it may be the schura, I don't know. This is mchuyiv shvua, might of mixas. Bein yoch l'shava mishalim. So we mentioned Rashi's kasha before, and Rashi speaks about it. The Ravid also asked the same kasha. Why does the Gemara have to say they're talking about there are three paris? Let's say the Sefer was talking about there were two paris. You lent me one pari, you rented the second one. One of them died. I don't know which. The one that's alive, I'm going to have to give back to you regardless. And I don't know if I have to pay you for the second one. If the one that's alive is the shul, so I don't have to pay you for the sachar. But if the one that died is a shul, I'm going to have to pay. Besides the sachar, I'm going to have to pay you for the shul as well. Bekitzer, he doesn't know he has to pay for both. If a shul has to pay for one, he has to give him the one that's alive. Why isn't that a might of mixus? So Rashi says, and really we explained Rashi along the lines of the Rashi, but it says expressly that since the para is alive, even if it doesn't actually bring it to Bezin, as long as it's someplace retrievable for the mafkid, is going to be considered a halach. The shoyel saying, the part that's alive, you can go take it. That'll have the din of halach, and therefore, he won't be considered a maid of mixas. Holden Torah is just about the second part. The first part you can go take, so there's no shayla about a pachal. That the Rashba says. However, the Ravid understands, as we mentioned earlier, as Machalik is a shame about this, the Ravid understands halach is only if you actually hand over what he's maida in Bezdin. It's not that he says you can go take it from over there. That's not considered halach. Halach is he actually hands it over to him, and therefore the case that the Ravid asks that we can explain the Mishnah with two paris as well to make him in mixes won't be considered a case of halach, as Rashi answers. Therefore the kash is yet to be answered. Why don't we say the case of the Mishnah is that he's made in mixes and there's two paris? Why do we have to add that third para? So the Ravid comes up with an incredible chiddush that also is debated amongst the Rishonim. The Ravid says that it's a davar pashat for somebody to be a Maida Mixus, it has to be the same taina, or at least a related taina. If Reuben Tevea Shimon 100 chitim, and Shimon is Maida, the owes him 50 se'irim, we're not going to say that it's Haidah Mimina taina. Taina was X, and the Haidah was in Y. That's not considered a Maida Mixus. Therefore, the Ravid says, the taina of Schura and the taina of Sheula are two separate, distinct tainas. One has nothing with the other. If he's made them, the mixes, it has to be part of the same taina. L'mashal, if Reuben tells Shimon, I lent you $100, Shimon says, no, you lent me 50. So that's 50 out of the 100 of the halva. That's part of the same taina. But if Reuben is teveya a schura and a sheula, and Shimon is made on the sheula, he says the schura, I might be potter. The sheula and the schura are two distinct dinei Torah. One has nothing to do with the other. Therefore, it's not considered a maida b'mixas. Therefore, says the Ravid, in order for him to be chayiv a shvua of maida b'mixas, you want to say there were actually three paris. It wouldn't be enough with two paris, because being maida on the taino, on the tfiya of the Shu'ula, that he has to pay back the Shu'ula, is not going to make him a mixas to mechayv mashua regarding the part that's schura. Therefore, the Gemara said there were two Shu'ulas. He's moida on one, and the other one, he's saying he doesn't know. That already is a moida mixas on the taina of Shu'ula. A taina of two different Shu'ulas is considered a moida mixas of mimina taina. He's moida that one of the Shu'ulas he owes and the other one he doesn't know. Now, the Ravid really proves this from the Gemara on what base. The Gemara says, on the next case of the Mishnah, Zoymer Sh'ula, Zoymer Schura,
the Mashal says the Shulu is one that died, and the Seicher says not Beshema, but he says Bevadai, the Schura died. Halacha is Yeshava Seicher Sheschura Mesa. The Seicher has to swear that the Schura died, and he'll be Potter. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, why does the Shail slash Seicher have to swear that it was the Schura that died? Mashtane loy haydaloy, Mashahaydaloy loy tayanoy. What the Mashal was Tiveya. What the Taina is about the Parashula, the Seicher wasn't Maida. He's saying it's not the Shula that died, it's the Parashura that died. And the Haidah that the Seicher slash Shail was Maida, that the part that died was the Shura, was the rented one, is not what the Mashal slash Masker was Tiveya. So there's no chiyuv shvua if somebody's maida on something that the Tiveya didn't really ask for. So why does the Mishnah say that he has to swear? There's no maida mixes over here. So the Gemara answered, Amar Ulai de Gilgul. There was a chiyuv shvua that the Mashal can machayev the Seicher to swear anyways. You can make him swear Kedarka Mesa. You want to say you're Potter because it was Shura, so swear that at least it was Kedarka Mesa, and that's why you're going to be Potter. Once he's chayev to swear the shvua, he could already machayev Megilgul shvua that it was a shura and not the shu'ula. Now, regarding Gemara's kasha, when the Gemara asks, why does the Seicher have to swear, am I shatan lehoideloi, what the Teveya was claiming, the Shu'ula, the Nitva, the Seicher, never admitted that he has to pay. He doesn't agree at all that it was the Shu'ula that died. And what he was made of, that it's the Schura that died, the Mashal was never Teveya. Why does he have to swear? So Rashi's bothered by that. Rashi says, what kind of kasha is that? We just mentioned earlier in Amud Aleph, it's talking about there are two pares, and he's Maida that he has to pay for one. They both died, and he's Maida, one of them that was Shula, he's going to have to pay for. And the Shaila's on the second one. He's a Maida of a Mixas, Rashi asks. What's the Gemara's question? Why does he have to swear? He's a classic Maida of a Mixas. As the Gemara said in Amud Aleph. So Rashi says that our sugya over here is going according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. The whole reason the Gemara said it's talking about two paris, Shesh Eisek Shua Beinayan, is because the Gemara said, according to Rav Nachman, that holds Bari Veshema, Lav Bari Odif, why does the Mishnah say he's Chayiv? He should be Potter because the Mashal says Shu'ula and the Seicher says Eini Eidea. That's the case of Bari Veshema, according to Rav Nachman, Lav Bari Odif. Why does he have to pay? So the Gemara said, no, it's talking about a special case. Shesh Eisek Shua Beinayan, there's really two parais, and he's made on one, therefore he's a made on a mixus, and he has to swear. However, according to Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, that hold that Bari Veshem and Bari Adav, the Mishnah is perfectly fine. You don't have to say there were two parais. There was one para. The Mashal says, the Shashul Mesa. It died at the point that it was shol, the day that it was shol, therefore you're chayiv, he's tining a Bari. The Shail slash Sayacher says, he's not sure. It's a Bari Veshema, according to one of you who know it's Bari Yodif. So there's no two parais. So in Meila, the Gemara is not talking about the case in Alan of Aleph that there were two parais where he's a Maida Mixus, rather there's one para. In the case where the Mashal says Shu'ula Mesa or Bashash Shu'ula Mesa, and the Shayel says Bashash Shu'ula Mesa or Shu'ula Mesa, there's no Maida Mixus. We're talking about one para. Or in the Seifa word, the Mishnah is talking about two parais. We're talking about two and not three, as the Gemara said in Ramad Aleph. Therefore, there's no way to mix us. So the Gemara says, if there's no way to mix us, why should he have to swear? That's how Rashi learned the Gemara's Kasha. However, the Ravid does not accept that understanding that the Gemara is going according to Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. Rather, the Ravid is going that the Sugi over here is going according to the previous Sugi as well. So the question remains, why does the Gemara say, in the Kasha, they should be Patra Mishvua because there's no Haidah, Mimina Taina. What do you mean? There's a Maida Mixas. As the Gemara says in Amud Aleph, it's talking about there are two paris. When the Gemara says that we're talking about the Shail says B'Shah Shura Mesa and the Mashal says B'Shah Shula Mesa, there's really two paris. One para, for sure, the Mashal is Maida that he has to pay. That one died and he knows he has to pay for it. The Shail's on the second one. The Mashal says that the Para died b'shas shu'ula, and the Shail says he doesn't know, Kubu is b'shas shura. So according to the Gemara in Omar Aleph, it's pashut why he has to swear. It's a regular Maida Mixas. What's the Gemara's kasha machlal? Why does the Gemara say, why does he have to swear? He wasn't Maida Minataina. He's a Maida Mixas. The Ravid builds from there his Yesoid, that you see from our Gemara, from the Gemara's Kasha, that he's not considered a Maidah Miksas. And the reason, as the Ravid explained before, since Shaila and Sechiris are two different Tainas, or two different Inyanim, it's not part of the same Taina. We look at them as two distinct Inyanim. Therefore, when he's Maidah on the Parah that's Shu'ula, and there's a Din Taira on the Parah that's Shura, that's considered as if it was Tana Echitim Ha'idlei B'Sairim. That he's made on the par that was borrowed has nothing to do with the question of the par that was rented. Shaila and Schiris are two different inyanim, and therefore he's not going to be considered a Maida B'miksas. Therefore the Gemara asks, Al Tataina, when the Mashal demands that he give him the par Shaula, and the Shaila says it was actually the Shura that died, the Gemara says, it's Tana Echitim, Ha'idlei B'sairim. He's Tayin, the Teveh is asking for X, and the Nitba is being made on Y. The Rabbi says it's impossible because a Taina of Schiris and a Taina of Shu'ula are actually two distinct Tainas, and they don't connect, they don't create one big Taina to say that when he's made at least on the Shu'ula that he's going to be considered a Maida Mixus regarding the Schura as well. Now the Rabbi extrapolates from this halacha that if Reuven tells Shimon, I lent you $100, and I gave you a pikadon of $100. And Shimon responds, you gave me a pikadon of $100, but you never lent me a penny. Vice versa, he says, you lent me $100, but you never gave me a pikadon. In such a case, the Ravid says, we're not going to consider that a maida miksas. Even though Reuven is being teveya altogether a sum of $200, $100 for the halva and $100 for the pikadon, and Shimon is maida on $100 of the $200, either from the halva or from the pikadon. Nevertheless, since they're two different distinct tainas, we're not going to say it's a maida miksas, just like the Ravid says that when Reuven tells Shimon, you owe me two paris shu'ulais, and Reuven says one paris shu'ula I owe you, and the other one is a schura, and therefore I don't owe it to you if it died, the Ravid says that's not going to be considered a maida miksas, and that's why the Gemara had to come on to a case of gilgul shvua to be mechayiv Shimon as shvua in the Mishnah, and it wouldn't be enough just to say it's a maida miksas, as there are two distinct tainas. As that he's maida on one par shu'ula is not going to be considered a maida miksas regarding the second par that is schura. However, as we mentioned, there's a big machlekes rishonim about this from the fact that Rashi doesn't answer the Gemara like the Ravid. Rashi understands that the Gemara over here is going according to Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, and that's why the Gemara asks, why does he have to swear? And the Gemara doesn't understand that he's chayav shvua because he's a maida miksas, because according to Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda, it's talking about one parah. The taka isn't two paras, as the Gemara said in Amud Aleph. Ramban writes as well, to argue on the Raya, but there's no Raya from our Gemara, because our Gemara is going according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, that say the Mishnah is talking about one parah, so there's no Maida Miksas. And in fact, the Ramban brings a Raya against the Raya from the same piece of Gemara. The Ramban proves that Shaila and Schiris is really one time, because if that weren't the case, what the Gemara answered, the reason when the Mashal says Shula Mesa and the Shaila says Shura Mesa, but he has to swear because the Mashal says, swear to me at least that's Kedarka Mesa, and therefore, once he's chayiv in that Shua already, could be Megalgul, a different Shua, that was a Schura Mesa, not the Shu'ula. One second. How could the Mashal be Mechayiv, the Shail to swear that it was Mesa Kedarka? The Shail should turn to the Mashal and say, what do you mean? Why should I swear it's Kedarka Mesa? According to you, it's Shu'ula. According to me, it's Schura. You were made it to me, it wasn't Schura Mesa. So where does the Shvua of Mesa Kedarka come in? You let me off the hook from such a Shvua when you were Teveyami, just the Shu'ula. So the Ramban proves from here that it's obvious that Shu'ula and Schura are interconnected tainas. It's not that the two distinct tainas, one has nothing to do with the other. Even though the Mashal was Teveya and said Shu'ula Mesa, nevertheless, if the Shaila responds, it's Schura Mesa, the Mashal could say, okay, at least swear to me, it's Kedarka Mesa, because they're really connected tainus. They're not two separate, distinct ideas. However, the Ksais in Sin Pechesiv Kornvov rejects this Raya of the Ramban. He says, there's no Raya from here that they're really considered one taina. The reason the Gemara holds that the Mashal can force the seicher slash shayl to swear that it's darker mesa, even though he's being toivea it as a shu'ula where it won't make a difference kedarker mesa. L'chayr would seem that he's relinquishing his chus to be toivea shvua of kedarker mesa. And if the Gemara says that l'maisa he does have to swear kedarker mesa, you see that when he tainet shu'ula, he was really including the tainet chura as well. It's really one opinion, it's one tviya, and therefore he can request that the shayl swear kedarka meisa. So it says it's not a raya, because really schirus and shul are two distinct tainus, and one has nothing to do with the other. Nevertheless, what's the idea behind the halacha that if tana chitim, if he was tevei chitim from the baldavar and the nita was moida sa'irim, the halacha doesn't have to swear, he's going to be putter entirely. Why is that? Because the Teveya was Meichel, his claim on the Sairim. So if the Nitva says, I owe him Sairim, but I'm not going to have to pay because he was only Teveya me Chitim. That's in a case where the Teveya was Meichel, the claim. However, over here, what's going on is he's not saying that I'm being Teveya the Sheula and I'm not being Teveya the Schura. Thus, if the Shail says it was a Schura, not a Sheula, well, he wasn't Teveya this para, he was only Teveya the Shu'ula, and this is not the Shu'ula, so I don't have to pay him the Shu'ula. That's not what happened over here. What happened is, the Teveya is saying, it's Shu'ula. Even if you're going to claim it's a Shu'ula, and therefore you're going to be positive if it's Meisa Kedarka, but I'm definitely not being Mevatra, I'm not acquiescing that you don't have to swear that it's Meisa Kedarka. It's sort of an infant Salaima. Really, it's a Shu'ula. But if you're going to say that it's not a shul, it's a schura, then swear to me it's Meisa Kedarka. There's no indication that he was Meichel. Mashenkein by Tavay Chitin, Mahidle B'Sairin, he clearly wasn't Teveya Sairin, he was Teveya just Chitin. If the Nitba says, I never took Chitin from you, I only owe you Sairin, so he's going to get off the hook entirely. Now, getting back to the Ramban says that Shailin's Chirus is considered one Taina. If Tanai, the Shu'ula, and he was Maida on the Shu'ula, he's trying to pat himself with a Schura, he will be considered a Maida B'miksas. However, the Ramban does agree to the Ravid in the case of Halon Pikodin. If Reuven tells Shimon, I lent you $100 and I was mafkid by you $100, and Shimon is Maida to the Halva of 100 but not to the Pikodin, or vice versa, we said before the Ravid holds that that's considered two separate tainus, is not considered a Maida Mixus. To this, the Ramban is Maida. It brings a Raya from a Gemara in Hamineach. We're not going to go through the Raya now. The Rosh really quotes the back and forth. He slugs up the Raya from Hamineach. Al-Kabonim Shitas HaRamban is that if he tainus both a Halva and a Pikodin, those are considered two separate tainus, and therefore it's not going to be Shayach Maida Mixus from one to the other. However, the Rambam in Paragim Al-Hach Yudalad and Tain Minitin, Paskins, that if Reuven was Tevea Shimon $100 for Pikadon, $100 for Halva, and Shimon was Maida for the $100 of the Pikadon, it's going to be considered a Maida of Mixus regarding the $100 of the Halva as well. We have three Shittas in the Rishayim. We have the Shittas Haravid that Shailan Schirus and Halva and Pikadon, anything that are two separate Tainas are going to be considered two separate Inyanim, and if he's Maida on one of the two Tainas, it won't make him Maida of Mixus. The Ramban says by Shailan Schirus it's considered one Taina. Pikadon is all under one umbrella, it's one category, and therefore it will be considered Hoidava Miktas. A Shula, Schura, any kind of Pikadon will be considered one kind of Taina, and therefore if he's Maidava Miktas on one Behema that's Shula, he'll be considered Maidava Miktas regarding the other Behema, even though the other Behema is a Schura. Whereas by Halva and Pikadon, there's a two distinct kind of Tfias, and therefore Hoida on one will not make him a Maidava Miktas on the other Taina. According to the Rambam, even Halva and Pikadon, even though they're two distinct tainas, they're still considered one taina regarding if he's Maida on one of the two, it's considered a Maida Mixus and he'll have to swear on the other taina as well. If he's Maida the Halva, but he's Kaifer on the Pikadon or vice versa, he's still going to be considered a Maida Mixas, he'll be Chayav B'Shua. Rabbi Zalman in Evan Ezel actually explains the Machlaikas, the Rambam and the Ramban, something similar to what we mentioned earlier in this year. He explains that the reason the Rambam holds that he's considered a Maida B'miktas by Halva and Pikadon is because he holds the Chiyuv of Halva and Pikadon is very similar. Just like by Halva, he's Chayiv. Immediately, the second takes the Halva, he's Chayiv to return it. Until he is paid up, he's B'cheskas Chiyuv. That's why if he doesn't know if he paid, It's any of them paratichel b'chayiv. Likewise, a pikodin is comparable to a halva that he has to make sure there's a chiyuv hashava. That's the way Rabbi Zalman is explaining according to the Rambam why it's a comparable taina. Why it's shaykh to be a meidah mixes when he's meidah on the halva and kaifer on the pikodin. However, the Ramban holds that the idea of pikodin, the chiyuv of the pikodin, comes only b'shas the hefset, b'shas the pshia. It doesn't come immediately when he took it. It doesn't have a chiyuv hashava to give back the pikodin this once he gets it. The chiyuv of paying is only when there's a hezek. Until then, it's b'shusa demara isay. We mentioned this machlaikas earlier, and to explain a different machlaikas, Rishon Zalman actually says that this machlaikas and the getter of pikodin is the chiyuv immediately upon accepting the pikodin, or does it come only once there is a hefset? But until that, he's not considered that he's chayiv. There's no chiyuv hashava per se for taking a pikodin. That machlekes will really be the source of the machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban here. The Ramban holds the chiyuv of pikodin only comes after there's a hefset, after there's a hezek. Until then, there's no real chiyuv on the nifkad to pay. Therefore, you can't compare that. It's not a comparable taina to halva. By halva, the second he gets the money, he's chayiv to pay back. By pikodin, there's no chiyuv upon the nifkad until he actually loses the pikodin. It's a totally different idea of a chiyuv. It's a totally different taina. Therefore, the Ramban holds he won't be considered a ma'idah b'miksas if he's kaifer on the pikodin and ma'idah halva, or vice versa. Now let's get back to the Gemara. The next Gemara talks about different cases of shaila b'bailam, boy rav mamul shaila b'bailam. What if he did shaila? He borrowed the behema, and it was a shaila b'bailam. And then sachar shalei b'bailam, before he returned it, before he returned the shiloh, he actually rented it from the same bailam. But at that point already, it wasn't scarce of bailam. He wasn't working for the shiloh / soicher. Do we say that the original p'tur of shiloh b'bailam is nimshach, continues on to the schiris? Or do we say, no, it's a separate entity, it's a separate transaction, and therefore there won't be a p'tur of schiris b'bailam regarding this rental? As the Gemara says, Mi'ar min shaila l'chudok kaima v'schirus l'chudok taima. Do we say there are two distinct transactions? Adil m'schirus b'shaila m'ayshach shayichi. The Mechai b'gnei v'aveda. The Gemara says we could continue the shaila into the schirus because all the chiyuvim that there are by schirus, there are by shaila as well. He didn't add any chiyuv onto himself by continuing it as a rental. Therefore, we'll say that the p'tur does transfer over. Now, Taisa asks a kasha on this Gemara shaila. From the Gemara's mashma, the whole question is, since the first transaction between them was a shaila and the second one was schiris, do we say that the tour of b'bailam from the shaila transfers on to a different kind of transaction, to a transaction of schiris? However, it's mashma, if the first transaction was a schiris, it was schiris b'bailam, then schiris shalei b'bailam, he continued the rental before he gave it back, and there was no imay b'malachtoi by the second rental, at that case, the Gemara l'chayr would clearly hold that it's considered schiris b'bailam. Since it's the same kind of transaction, the whole shaila is, if it's two different kinds of transactions, does it transfer from one to the other? But if it's the same kind, the same type of pikodin, if it went from ischiris b'mailam to ischiris shalei b'mailam, there's no question, it's mashma the Gemara that it will be potter. Frektaisus, earlier the Gemara says, and that's how the Gemara says, that if there was ischiris shalei b'mailam, and then there was ischiris b'mailam, the Gemara says, ask ischiris b'mailam, mafka ischiris shalei b'mailam. It actually will go after the second transaction. If it started at shalei b'mailam, but continued b'mailam, the Gemara says that the second ischiris will be considered ischiris b'mailam. So you see, you go after the second transaction. Why does the Gemara understand it so partial that if it started at b'mailam and continued shalei b'mailam, that if there were both ischiris, it would for sure be a p'tur of ischiris b'mailam, whereas the Gemara on the two blotted previously is mashma just the opposite. We go after the second transaction and not the first. So Taisa's answer is Yishleim with the Gzeres. Sakosu b'cholayech adikah b'aylam oy b'rishaynay b'shniya poter. Any way you can throw a p'tur onto this second transaction, either by itself, if it's the second transaction was done by b'aylam, the second schiris was done by b'aylam, that'll be enough to pater him. Likewise, the Gemara understands that the first one, if the first one was a schiris b'bailam, even though the second one was schiris shalei b'bailam, he's going to be potter as well. Anyway, you can apply the p'tur of schiris b'bailam, whether it's through the first schiris or through the second schiris, we're going to apply it and he's going to be potter. That's Taisus Teretz. However, Reb Chaim writes a mahalik to explain Rashi differently to answer Tosfos Kasha. Rashi writes a lashon in explaining the Gemara Shaila. Do we say that the schirus is by itself? We don't transfer this turov balavimoy from the original Shaila to the schirus because schirus is its own transaction. It's a separate, distinct deal between the masker and the secher. And Rashi says, even though originally when he did the Meshicha, it was a Bailim, and he didn't do Meshicha afterwards, even though he didn't do another Meshicha to be Meshchayiv B'Shchirus, it was all based on the original Meshicha. Nevertheless, since B'Shas Shchirus was in his Rishus, and it wasn't missing a Meshicha, and he's kind of the behemoth for Shchirus B'Amira by itself, and therefore going to be considered a separate transaction on that side of the Gemara. Dilma Rashi says, we say Shchirus B'Shayla Meshach Shayach, we do say it's going to be Potter, we're going to transfer the Ptur, because all the Chivim of a Seicher, of Gneva Veveda, really start by Yishayel already. He's not being moisef in any chiyuv more than he was before. And Rashi says, "Umachmas Meshicha Rishayno Boloi." Because of the first Meshicha that he did when he became a shayol, he continued his chiyuv now as a seicher, and therefore Torah transfers as well. Rashi seems to stress over and over in the next Rashi also the point of Meshicha. That is what we're dealing with. Chaim explains there are two points in time that bring about the achrayus on the Nifkad, on the Shayul or on the Seichar. First of all, when he does the Meshicha, and also when it's Kabbalah Achrayis. You need two ingredients to be Meshchayiv. If he does Meshicha without Kabbalah Achrayis, he's not going to be Chayiv, obviously. If he's Kabbalah Achrayis and he doesn't do Meshicha, according to many Rishayim, Bezer Hashem, Lineda will discuss that on the next plot, that's really the source for this Machlekes Rishayim. Many Rishayim hold that in order to be Chayiv Al Tzashimer, you have to do Meshicha as well. It's not enough just to be Kabbal Achrayis. Therefore, B'chaim explains that, according to Rashi, it's very easily understood why he'll be Potter in either case, either if the first Schirus was B'Bailim or the second one was B'Bailim. If the first one was B'Bailim, it's because the Meshicha that he made originally by the first Schirus, that was B'Bailim. So that point of his chayvus on the seicher was b'ptur. Therefore, the second schirus that continues based on the meshicha of the first schirus, since they're both the same kind of transaction, it's pushed to the Gemara that will be considered schirus b'bailam. Likewise, if the first schirus was shalei b'bailam, but the second one was b'bailam, even though the second one's meshicha is really the first meshicha, which was shalei b'bailam, nevertheless, the Kabbalah Achrayus of the second Schirus, that happened to Bailam. That's also enough of a reason to patter to make it Schirus with Bailam. However, says Reb Chaim, Taisos L'shitasam, can't answer like that. Taisos holds that one doesn't need a Meshicha to be Meshchayev B'Achrayus as a Shomer. It's enough that he was Mekabel Achrayus, and the Mafkid relied on the Nifkad to watch it. Even if the Nifkad doesn't make a Meshicha, even if the Seicher, the child, is not Meshich, he's still going to be Chayiv B'Achrayis, he becomes a Seicher at that point. Therefore, Tosfos cannot say teretz, that either the Kabbalah Achrayis or the Meshicha, one of those two points in taking a Pikodin, Kabbalah Achrayis of a Pikodin, can bring about the tour of Shmir B'Bailim, because Tosfos holds there are no two points. The point of Kabbalah Achrayis, the point of accepting responsibility to watch it, is the only point that brings about the Shmira. If there was Shmira B'Bailam by the Mashiach, but not by the Kabbalah Achrayis, this holds that's not a reason to pater, unless we say a Sfar that's Gzeiras HaKosev, and since it started at that point, we'll pass it on to the next Schirus as well. But to say there are two points, two ingredients, so to speak, in creating a Shomer, Tosfos disagrees with it. Tosfos holds a Kabbalah Achrayis is enough, you don't need Mashiach to establish the Chiyuv Achrayis and the Shomer. Now, Reb Chaim really takes this understanding in Rashi and Tosfos and proves that their understanding like that l'shitasam on the next piece of Gemara as well. The Gemara asks afterwards, if you're going to say, Infant Saloimar, that shala b'baylim, and then afterwards yisachar shala b'baylim, we say that schiris is a continuation, so to speak, of the shayla, because all the chiyuvim of schiris are in a shayla as well, so therefore it's not something new, and the shayla b'baylim transits over to the schiris. The Gemara asks what happens in the opposite case, where it's sachar b'baylim, and then shala shala b'baylim, because over there already, by the second transaction, by the shayla shala b'baylim, is actually being meisif more chiyuvim, is chayv and einus as well. Do we say that the schiris b'baylim can transfer over to the shayla shala b'baylim? And as Rashi explains, the chiyuv of einus by a shayla is not something that he was chayv originally when he started the schirus. So therefore, for that new chiv, there was never a p'tur of Baal of Imoy. That's the tzad that it shouldn't be considered shayl of Baal. Or do we say, no, it's somewhat connected. It's connected in mixas, because a shayl and a seichar are all chayving neva veda. Therefore, the original mashiach, as Rashi explains, that was done b'p'tur by the original schirus, will carry over the p'tur of Baal of Imoy to the shayla as well. More calls that came in the shaykha b'mikzas, came in the shaykha b'kuladomi. Since it's somewhat connected by the chiyuvim gneva veda, it'll carry over to all the chiyuvim of a shayl, and he'll be considered balavimai. Now, the next Gemara says, imtimis lemer loyim rinon, came in the shaykha b'mikzas, came in the shaykha b'kuladomi. If you're not going to say that sachar b'baylim and shalosh b'baylim is going to be considered that he's potter, rather we're going to say shayla is a totally new kind of chiyuv, and therefore it's not going to carry over the Baal of Imoy p'tur that was by the schiris to the subsequent shayla that he does. The Gemara asks, what will be the din if it's shayla b'baylim, and then he rented it shayla b'baylim, and then afterwards he once again borrowed it b'baylim? Do we say that the original p'tur of shayla b'baylim transits over to this third transaction, to a shayla, which is comparable to the original transaction that he did, but there was a schiris in between? Now Rashi understands that it has to be the Gemara's shayla is only on the tzad that we say that given the shaykh of mixes, we don't say command the shaykh of bekuladomi. It seems from Rashi there was some ambiguity about the gersa. Rashi and Tesis really argues, we'll explain soon, Bezer Hashem. Rashi says the Gemara clearly must have a gerasa, must be explained that we don't say if it's shaykh of a mixas, it's shaykh of the bekula dami. Because we said if it's shaykh of mixas, command the shaykh of bekula. If we say that sarcha rabbailim, the shalosh le rabbailim, it's considered that the balavima transfers to the shayla as well, so Rashi understands there wouldn't be any suffix in the Gemara. If from Schirus to Shiloh we transfer the Baal of Imoy, so for sure, from Shiloh b'baylam to Schirus b'baylam to Shiloh b'baylam, of course we'll say that it's considered Shiloh b'baylam. If from Schirus to Shiloh alone we transfer the Baal of Imoy, so for sure, from Shiloh to Schirus to Shiloh, where the first and the third transactions are really the same, for sure we will say that the Baal of Imoy transfers as well. Therefore, the Gemara Shaila must be only on the tzad that we don't say that from Schiris to Shaila we can transfer the Baal of Imoy, the Ptur. Nevertheless, the Gemara is a Shaila. If it started with a Shaila, the middle transaction was a Schiris, and the third one reverts back to a Shaila, it's possible, the Gemara says, we can transfer the Baal of Imoy from the first transaction, which was a Shaila, to the third transaction, which was a Shaila as well, even though there was a Schiris in between. Or the Gemara has said, maybe not. Maybe we say the Schiris in between is mafsik. But if we said that from Schiris we can transfer a Baal of Imoy to Shiloh, so for sure, if it originally started with a Shiloh and there was a Schiris in between, there's no question, according to Rashi, we'd be able to transfer the Ptur of Baal of Imoy to the third transaction, to the Shiloh. Then the Gemara brings a fourth Shiloh, the same case as the third Shiloh, just in reverse. If it was Schiris b'baylam, then Shiloh, Shalei b'baylam, then a third transaction, another Schiris, Shalei b'baylam. Do we say that the p'tur of Baal of Imoy transfers from the first Schiris to the third transaction, which was a Schiris, even though there was a Shiloh in between? Taisus has a hard time understanding the Gemara according to Rashi. According to Rashi, that we're understanding this Gemara, the third and fourth Shilohs, where there are three transactions, either a Shaila b'baylim, schir shle b'baylim, and a shaila shle b'baylim, or a schiris b'baylim, shaila, and then a subsequent schir shle b'baylim, does the b'bayl of imoy transfer from the first to the third transaction? If the gears is the way Rashi says that the Gemara shaila is on the tzad that we don't say that if it's shaykh of a mixas, come on the shaykh of a kuladami, that means that we don't say that b'bayl of imoy transfers from a schiris to a shaila. How could the Gemara have a habamina in the fourth shayla that schiris b'baylam, then a subsequent shayla shle b'baylam, then a subsequent schiris shle b'baylam? The Gemara has a habamina to say that the bowl of imoy transfers from the first schiris to the third transaction, which was a schiris. How could you have such a habamina? The bowl of imoy stopped by the time the shayla came about. If we're saying that the Gemara holds that sachar b'baylam and shayla shle b'baylam does not constitute a bowl of imoy because if it's Shaykh of Mixas, we don't say command the Shaykh of Bekul Dami. Once he was Moisif, once he added the Chiyuv Einsim, the Shaila is considered a totally new transaction, and it doesn't represent a continuation of the original Schirus, and therefore there's no more Bal of Imai. How does the Gemara have a Havamino to say that it will revert back to Bal of Imai by the third transaction, which is a Schirus? He already lost the status of Bal of Imai by the Shaila in between. Therefore, Taisus says that the Gemara must be going only on the tzad that we say if it's Shaykh of Mixas, command the Shaykh of Bekula, we do say that it's considered a Bal of Imoy. The Gemara in Shaila 3 and 4, where there are three transactions, is going on the tzad that if there's a Schiris B'Bailam and a Shaila Shle B'Bailam, we say that it's, yes, considered a Bal of Imoy. Even though by Shaila there is an addition of Chiyuvim, nevertheless, we say since there's a comparison between Shaila and Seicher, the both having name of Aveda, that makes it enough of a continuation that the Ptur of Bal of Imoy will transfer from the Schirus to the Shaila as well. For that, the Gemara asks, what happens if there are actually three transactions, not just a schirus and then a shaila, or just a shaila and a schirus? Actually, there is a shaila, schirus, shaila, or schirus, shaila, schirus. There are three transactions. Do we say that the bal of imoy actually transfers not just once, it actually transfers twice, and it will pass on the ptur to the third transaction as well? Or do we say no, it only transfers from transaction one to transaction two, but to transfer to a third transaction, that's already too much, we won't say that. But the Gemara Shaila is based on the fact that from transaction 1 to transaction 2, from Shaila B'Bailam to Schir Shle B'Bailam, or from Schir B'Bailam to Shaila Shle B'Bailam, there's no question, it definitely will transfer. So Taisus learns opposite of Rashi. He learns the Gemara Shaila in Shaila number 3 and 4, whether we say, does a Ptur of Bal of Imoy transfer to a third transaction from the first one? That's only on the tzad that no matter what happens from 1 to 2, whether it's schiris to shaila or shaila to schiris, it can transfer. However, Taisus explains, if we were to hold that it cannot transfer from 1 to 2, if we held that it cannot transfer from schiris b'baylam to a shaila shle b'baylam, there's no way we could accept that a shaila, then a schiris, then a shaila would be possible to have it transferred from 1 to 3, since you cannot possibly transfer a bowl of imoy from a schiros to a shaila. So if you cannot transfer a bowl of imoy from a schiros to a shaila, it definitely cannot work from a shaila to a schiros to a shaila, because the bridge is broken in between, as schiros does not connect to a shaila to transfer the ptura bowl of imoy. If we do say that schiros and shaila are meshech shaychi, you can transfer from one to the next. The question of the Gemara is, do we say that it can do a double transfer? That's the Gemara's suffix. But if you can't do a single transfer from Schiris to Shaila, you definitely can't do it from Shaila to Schiris to Shaila. That's Taisus. Now, Reb Chaim explains, based on what he said before, that Rashi and Taisus are l'shitasam. Taisus understands that the Mashiach has not a role play over here. The sugya is based on the Kabbalah Sachrayas. The point when he accepted Achrayas Shmira, that's the only point that we are done whether it's considered Bal of Imoy or not. Because if it's the Shaila is the way Rashi is understanding it the whole time, does the Meshicha that was done by Ptur carry on? There's no difference between one or two transactions later on. It makes no difference whether it's two or three transactions because it was only one Meshicha. The question is, does the p'tur that happened by the original Mashiach carry on further? It makes no difference as to whether it's one or two or three transactions later, because l'maisa, it's all one Mashiach that happened originally. He didn't do a Mashiach afterwards. So, according to Rashi, that the Mashiach is enough to pater any subsequent Kabbalah Shmira, there's no reason to say that Shailas Chiras Shailah wouldn't be considered Shmira B'Bailam, unless we're going to say another reason to stop the Torah of Balavimai, which would mean that we don't say Kim the Shaykh of Mixa Shaykh of Kuladami. But if I don't say that Svara, there's no reason to say that the Torah of Balavimai shouldn't continue on. It's all based on the original Mashiach, and Rashi understands that the Mashiach that's done by Balavimai is really what will carry over as long as that Mashiach was being used for subsequent Chivei Shmira. That's why Rashi has no choice but to understand that the Gemara's Shaila is only based on the Tzadet. In Timtzer Leimer, we don't say, Kivin the Shaykh of Mixes, Kaman the Shaykh of Bekula Domi. Therefore, the Gemara has a Shaila. Do we say that the middle Schiris, or the middle Shaila, will break it off a middle, as we can't transfer a Torah of Balavimai from a Schiris to a Shaila? But other than that, there'd be no reason to say that the Torah Balavimai shouldn't transfer. However, Taisus holds that the Mashiach is not the focal point, it's the Kabbalah Sachrayis. So, according to Taisus, we can make a difference between two transactions or three. That's already something further. There was a new Kabbalah Shmira, and the third transaction that's that much further from the first transaction. Maybe it only transfers from transaction one to transaction two, and not from transaction two to transaction three as well. So far, we're not going to say. But that's obviously only based if we say from Schiris we can transfer a Shmira B'Bailam to Shaila. Because if we couldn't do that, there's no way that from a Shaila to a Schiris to a Shaila would we be able to transfer the Shmira B'Bailam when from the Schiris to the Shaila itself you couldn't transfer the Ptura of Balavimai. As Taisus understands, each one is a new Kabbalah Shmira. It's a new Ptura Balavimai, as it's not based on the original Mashiach, and therefore Taisus had to learn L'shitasai that the Gemara is going on the Tzad that we do say you can transfer a Ptur of Balavimai from a Schiris to a Shaila. Al Kapanu, according to Taisus, the Maskan of the Gemara is based on the fact that Imtim Seloimer is a Psak. According to that, it should come out according to Taisus from Schiris to Shaila or from Shaila to Schiris in both cases. We say that the Balavimai transfers. The Gemara Safik is just by the case of three transactions, a Schiris, Shaila, Schiris, or a Shaila, Schiris, Shaila, do we say that Balavimai can transfer to a third transaction as well? According to Rashi, the Gemara's Maskana is that from Shaila to Schiris, we do say you can transfer the Balavimai. From Schiris to Shaila, the Gemara's Maskana is in Slimer. We don't say that one can transfer from Schiris to Shaila. We don't say Kim the Shaykh of Mixes Kiman the Shaykh of Kuldami. And the Gemara's Suffolk is when it started as a Schiris and finished as a Schiris and there was a Shaila in the middle, or Shaila, Schiris, Shaila. In that case, the Gemara has a Suffolk. However, the Rambam is a third sheet that he holds that the Gemara's Shaila 3 and 4 of Schiris, Shaila, Schiris, or Shaila, Schiris, Shaila is not based on any intense limer. He's not clear there's any intense limer. It has nothing to do with if it's Shaykh Mixes Kamana Shaykh of a Kula Dummy or not. It could be that from Schiris to Shaila, you could transfer Shmira B'Bailam. It could be from Schiris to Shaila, you can transfer Shmira B'Bailam. It has no effect on the Gemara's Shailas where there are three transactions. The Rambam clearly is not convinced by Taisa's argument. He holds it's possible that from Schiris to Shaila, you can transfer Shmira B'Bailam. Nevertheless, if it started out with a Schiris and ended with a Schiris, or it started out with a Shaila and ended with a Shaila, the Gemara understands that there's a tzad, the Shmir B'Bailam can transfer, even though that junction alone of Schiris B'Bailam to a Shaila B'Bailam would not create a situation of Shaila B'Bailam as well. Now, regarding Taisus Kasha and Rashi, how is it possible to say the Gemara is a Havamina, that from Schiris to Shaila to Schiris, we're going to transfer the Shmira B'Bailam of the original Schiris, even though from Schiris to Shaila alone, we won't transfer the Shmira B'Bailam. Taisus doesn't understand how it's possible to explain if
from 1 to point 2, you can't transfer the Shmir of Baila. How is it possible that from point 1 to point 2 to point 3, you could transfer the Ptura of Shmir of Baila? So Reb Chaim explains a beautiful Mahalach. Reb Chaim says that Rashi says that the Gemara Shaila is based on the fact that we don't say Kim the Shaykh mixes Kamal the Shaykh Bakula Domi. We can't transfer a Ptura of Shmir of Baila from Schiros to Shaila. Chayra, that would only make sense regarding Chiyuv Einsin. Regarding Chiyuv Gneva Aveda, it's the same Chiyuv from Shemir Sachar to Shaila. L'chayr, we should say the Ptura of Shmir of Baila should transfer. Nevertheless, Chaim understands that he's going to be Chayiv, even in Gneva Aveda, by the Shail, even though that does compare to the Chiyuvim of a Shemir Sachar, of a Seichar, still, there's another reason to be Mechayiv, the Shail, because besides the Halacha, that we know he's Chayiv in Gnei Aveda, Kal Chaymer from Shemir Sachar, still, once there was Marba, a Chiyuv Einsin for a Shail, so Gnei Aveda is not going to be any less than a Chiyuv Einsin. So he might be Potter Alts, the Chiyuv Gneva Veda that we learn from Shemir Sachar from Seicher. But it's still no less than any Ptur Einsen. So he's going to have to pay regardless. And to say it explain it a little deeper, the Torah was Marba a Chiyuv by Shail. Besides the Chiyuv Shmira, he's Achroi to return it, no matter what. This new Chiyuv that the Torah put on him, that'll have to pay for Gneva Veda, because it's under the title of Einsin as well. It's no less than any regular Einis. It still requires the Shail to reimburse the Mashal no matter what. But the Ptur of Bolavimoy regarding the Din Gnei Aveda, that did transfer. It practically doesn't have any ramification because a Gnei Aveda during the time of the Shailah, during the period that it was Shoal by him, is going to be Chayiv because it's not going to be Chayiv als the Din Gnei Aveda. That taka transferred the ptur of Baal Vimoy to the period of Shaila as well, from the period of Schiris. Nevertheless, there's no ptur of Baal Vimoy regarding the Chiyuv Einsen, as we're saying, we don't say if it's Shaykh Mixes Shaykh Bekula. So therefore, everything will be Chayiv Al Tiena Din of Einsen. But regarding the Chiyuv Gneva Aveda of Eshail, that taka never lost the ptur of Shmir Bebail. Therefore, when it gets back to the third stage, where it reverts back to a seicher, where it's a seicher, a shayel seicher, so there, it makes very good sense why by the third transaction, by the schirus, the tour of Balavimoy should transfer. It never got lost in the middle. Technically, there was a peripheral reason, a side reason, why we can't use a tour of Shmir of Bailam, because you don't say, Kim the Shaykh mixes Kim on the Shaykh of Bakul Dami. So Mela the Ptur Lagabi Einsen never was Chal. The Ptur continued to stay Lagabi the Chiyuv Gnei Aveda. But Lagabi the Ptur of Einsen never was Chal because that's already a new Tosefes Chiyuv. It's a new additional Chiyuv that never came about by the original Mashiach. So Mela is going to be Chayiv Einsen, and even if there's a Gnei Aveda, that will be Bechlal the Chiyuv Einsen. It's no less than any Einus. But when it reverts back to Eschiris by the third transaction, that will retain the Ptur of Shmir HaBailam that was throughout. Taisus understands, Reb Chaim proves from Taisus Daf Mem Beis, that the Gedra of Chiyuv Gneva Aveda by Shoyal is a new Chiyuv Tashlum. It's not the Chiyuv Gneva Aveda of Shemar Sachar. It's a new Parsha of Gneva Aveda. So therefore, since it's a new Parsha of a Chiyuv, Melo, that never transferred from the first transaction of Schiris to the second transaction of Shoyal. Ask Taisus, how could you possibly then transfer the Ptur of Bailam from point 2 to point 3 if it never got from point 1 to point 2? However, according to Rashi, it got from point 1 to point 2. The Ptur of Shmir of Bailam transferred from the original Schiris to the second stage to the Shaila. It doesn't work for Gabi Einsen, and since everything is Bechlal Einsen, besides this regular Din of Chiyuv Gnei Aveda, that's going to be Chayiv Al Tzayin anyway, so Mela, for all practical purposes, it won't work. But it was there, in theory, was ready and waiting to be transferred to the next point, to the third transaction which was Schiras. According to Tosfos, since the Chiv of Gneva Aveda by Shoyl is a different parish of Gneva Aveda, it's not the parish of Gneva Aveda by Shemir Sochar, it's its own din. And Melo, the Ptur Shemir Bail never transferred from the original Schiras to the second stage of Shiloh, so of course it can't transfer from point 2 to point 3. That's why Tosfos was forced to understand that the Gemara is not on the tzad, that we do say Kim the Shaykh Mitzvah, Kim on the Shaykh of a Kul Dami, and from Schiras to Shiloh it could transfer the Ptur Shemir Bail. And the question is, do we say that it can transfer a second time as well, or only one time? Now let's move on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says somebody who borrows a parah from his friend, Reuven lent a parah to Shimon. He sent the parah to Shimon through his son, through his eved, through his shliach, or through the son or eved or shliach of the shayel, and it died on the way. The shayel is going to be potter. He didn't get it yet. If the shayel told the mashal, Shimon the borrower told Reuven the lender, send it with my son, shilchali biad bini, biad avdi, biad shluchi, or biad bincho, or with your son, or with your slave, or your shliach, or if the mashal offered to send it with his son, eved or shliach, or with Shimon's son, eved or shliach, and Shimon said, hey, and he said, agreed, he said, yes, the halacha is that if the parah died on the way, Shimon is considered to have accepted the behem already, and he's chayiv b'ainson. He already is considered the shayil. Now the Mukhi Yosef, the Shita Mekubetzes, have a hard time understanding the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say that if Shimon the shayil told Reuven the mashal, send it to me with your son, or your shliach, that Shimon's going to be chayiv b'achrayis the second Reuven gave it to Reuven's own son, or Reuven's own Eved, or Reuven's own Shliach? They ask, why is Shimon Chayiv? Why is it considered that he got the Parah into his Rishus? Memela, if it was with Shimon's son, Shimon told his son, go bring the Parah from Reuven to me. So Shimon's son is a Shliach LaKabbalah. It's as if Shimon got it when Shimon's son, when Shimon's Shliach gets it. Likewise is Eved, likewise is Shliach. But when Shimon tells Reuven, Reuven, please tell your son to bring it to me, it's as considered as if Shimon got the parah into his Rishus. How did Shimon asking Reuven to send it with Reuven's son turn Reuven's son into a Shliach LaKabbalah for Shimon? How did Shimon ever get it? True, he asked Reuven to send it with Reuven's son, but it's not considered that he got it. Why is it considered that he accepted the parah b'shail already, and he's chayv b'achrayis immediately when Reuven gives it to his own son? How does that work? What's the dynamic? So there are two mehalchim in the Rishonim to explain this, and there are tremendous nafkaminis between them. The first mehalch that the Shita brings is technically what happened is when Shimon told Reuven, send it to me with your son, what really happened was that Shimon told Reuven, Reuven, I'm asking you to tell your son to be a shliach lekabbalah for me. Reuven appointed his own son to be Shimon shliach lekabbalah. Therefore, when Reuven's son got the parah from his father to bring to Shimon, it's as if Shimon got it in his hand already. Reuven's son became Shimon shliach lekabbalah, and therefore, the second he left Reuven's property, the second it went over to the Rishus of Reuven's son, it's considered as if Shimon got it, and therefore he's chayev as a shayel immediately. That's the first mahalach. The second mahalach that Shita brings is, it doesn't work al shlichus, anachanami. There's no shlich lekabbalah here. Rather, the reason that Shimon is going to be chayiv, if the parah died on the way, even though it was never accepted by a shliach lekabbalah of Shimon, rather it was through Reuven's son, Eved or Shliach, the reason Shimon is chayiv is midin arif. What happened was, Reuven was hoitzir tzoyis al pi Shimon. Reuven sent the behema out of his rishus on Shimon's say-so. Therefore, if any damage came about to Reuven's behemoth based on Shimon's say-so, Shimon is going to be responsible. That's a regular din of Arif. Now, the Nesivus in Shin Mem says there's a tremendous nafkamina between these two mahalchim. First nafkamina is, what happens if after Reuven gave it to his son, was on the way, Reuven changed his mind. He decided he doesn't want to lend it to Shimon. According to the mahalach, that it's as if Shimon told Reuven, make your son a shliach like a bala for me, Reuven can't change his mind. It already became Shimon's for the period of the loan that they made up. Reuven's son is in place of Shimon. Just like if Shimon did a Mashiach, Reuven can't recant on the Shilas, like Gemara says in Tzadik Tes. Likewise, if Reuven's son is Shimon Shliach, it's as if Shimon got it. However, if it's only Medin Arev, Shimon will have to pay if there's any hefset to Reuven. But it's not going to be considered that the Shaila started in actuality. Therefore, Reuven can recant and ask for it back. Another nafkamina between these two mahalchim is, what happens if Reuven's son is a katan, or Reuven's shliach is a cheresh, or Reuven's eved is a shaita? It's somebody that is not a parsha shlichos. If it's midin shlichos, that it's as if Reuven's son is shemesh shlich lekabbalah, if it's a cheresh of a katan, it's not shayach to make the mishliach. Therefore, if it died on the way, Shimon will be potter. If it's medin arev, it doesn't matter who got it, since Reuven was hoti otzois, he spent money, he risked his property based on Shimon's say-so, Shimon will be responsible to reimburse Reuven if there's any hefsid, even if the people who wrote it were not people who are roy to be shluchim.